hand-to-hand combat, how to fall without actually, you know, shooting your weapon. I mean, what do we do other than the, I know the taser, the dogs, and a real weapon with bullets in it?
I think that overall, and this is a generalization, that the training is better than most agencies, most police agencies do. That doesn't mean
I was going to say that's not giving me confidence, right?
Not perfect. Okay. But the thing about the dynamic of what happened in three of the cases is remarkable. That in this brief period of time, three cases occurred in which officers fell, and when officer falls, that officer is going to feel greater threat and have less options available, right? They can no longer create distance if they're on the ground. They no longer have time, and they no longer have a position of superiority, right? So it was remarkable to us, and I think eventually the Bureau indicated in our discussion that they had finally started to recognize that this was an issue. But I think by us highlighting it in service, they're going to really focus on this in March. It's high time.
But so did this come out of the Portland Review, I mean, the Police Review Board?
No.
And so when things come out of the Police Review Board, what happens to those?
Not enough. Well, not enough comes out of the review board, and that's our point. You know, more needs to come out, and then it needs to go to the chief for review, and assuming she agrees with the recommendation, somebody in her office needs to ensure that there's implementation. That's really not happening.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, and OIR group will be invited back up later for questions subsequent. So, colleagues, you know I have a long-standing policy of not taking public testimony for reports. And the reason I do that is that there is a legislative mandate to a group of people who are supposed to go out and evaluate very specific items on behalf of this council and then return to the council with their findings. And therefore, in my view, it is not the same thing as a public forum. Unless it's like the conversation and the testimony we took last week on the ordinance associated with this report that was a question as to whether whether OIR had actually done their work and whether that contract should be extended for the remainder of the term. Now, that being said, today I have been asked to make a very narrow exception to that standard. And I've chosen to make the exception to this standard. I have asked Donna Hayes, who is Qantas Hayes' grandmother, and Alicia Johnson, who is the mother of Terrell Johnson. They had approached me through Dan Handelman and asked if they could have 3 minutes each to testify. I felt that given that these reports are not only a matter of life and death, but that they specifically reference family members, they provide narratives on their family members, that would be appropriate. So I would like at this time to ask Donna Hayes and Alicia Johnson if they would like to come forward. We would certainly welcome your testimony at this point, and we thank you for being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Alicia couldn't make it.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Donna Hayes, and at present I'm representing the Pacific Northwest Family Circle. Okay, my thought is on the contract. It's not so much what they said as their contract. Please think wisely regarding OIR's contract, unless you have a better outside expert. I have discussed with OIR representatives, and my first question was, how many recommendations did Portland Police have done since the first report? They represented their employer well, but I wasn't satisfied. I am satisfied with their report. Their report answered a lot of questions that I was unable to get from the city and its employees. I have started reading the previous report, and this is the very first one I'm on. And the increase in compensation is well rewarded because the present report is written better. All I can think of is only going to get better written. My worry doesn't come from having them on the taxpayer. My worry is having cops with no form of accountability. I believe the city is not really following through on OIR recommendations or the IPR for that matter. You may not want to pay the amount. Pay it anyway and ask for something in return, like a more timely report, unless this last report lent was your fault. The people of this city needs these reports because our lives depend on the law enforcement paying attention to these reports. These reports, without this paper, the report that I got regarding my grandson actually gave me a whole lot of information that I didn't know, that no one took the time out to give me. I mean, things I just truly didn't understand. And this report gave me some understanding. I think they're of value to this city. And I think it's necessary to keep them. I'm finding that a whole lot of people have read these reports. And then we can talk about it. And we can look for certain changes. And I think, like they were saying, you were saying that you all need to get together with the police chief and everybody. Get together. Stand by these recommendations. Our lives depend on these recommendations.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. You. Commissioner Fritz.
We have three members of the Albino Ministerial Alliance here today, and I would very much like to hear from Dr. Bethel, Dr. Haynes, and Dan Handelman if they are interested in giving testimony as an exception.
And I second that.
So I made this narrow exception for today, and I will accept that, but I want to be very clear. I am not setting a precedent for the future, but the pastors are partners in our settlement agreement. Their voices matter. They've made the effort to be here today, and I would certainly welcome their testimony. If they so choose. I'm not going to make them testify.
Yeah, I realize that you weren't prepared, but, and similarly, Mr. Handelman, if you'd like to testify, you're certainly welcome to come forward.
Come on up, Dan. That was a request.
To our distinguished mayor and to this outstanding city council and to my former activist colleague who is now on the council, I thank each of you for this opportunity. I did not come with prepared remarks because I wasn't expecting to speak, but over the last 12 years from the Park Report to the OIR reports, we have seen that process. And I think your questions today are questions that are critically important of not just receiving the report, but moving the report from paper to policy and practice, and then moving it into actually action and maintaining that in policy and practice. In 2006, with the Kendra James case, many of these recommendations that OIR Albino Minister Alliance recommended in his investigation, like the officer putting himself in front of the car, which gave no ability for him to, in space and time, to move and end up shooting through the window to kill Kendra James, or actually going into the car and pulling, trying to pull Kendra James out of the car. But what we've seen over the years, Mayor and Council Commissioners, is that we go through this process, and when there's changes of chief of police, we end up back at first base again, and there's no follow-through in the implementation, no accountability. And so that, and it's good to see that we take a strategy and implementation of those recommendations that you confirm and agree with. Secondly, I want to say, if you cannot control the sergeant level in the Portland Police Bureau, we just rush to throw our hands up and forget everything. Because those are the major supervising decision-making people. And I do agree that once they participate in the tactics and they lose all objectivity in that process, that there's no accountability, no supervision that take place. And we've seen this over and over in many cases. But I affirm the recommendations that have come from ORR, and I thank them for doing an outstanding job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
Dan?
Hi, I'm Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch, and I am on the steering committee of the AMA Coalition, but my comments are coming from Portland Cop Watch. You have the written comments in front of you. I'm going to try to do this in 3 minutes. The first thing is about involving the community in these decisions. And while it is true, Mayor Wheeler, that you've paid consultants to come up with these recommendations, it's very important that the community have a chance to look at the recommendations and say whether or not they fit what we would like to see happen. And by cutting us out of the conversation, both through the process of releasing the report when it's already done and having the police bureau already start implementing them, and by cutting us out of the conversation at council level, we don't have that community voice that's so important. So I just want to make that point really clearly. The police review board recommendation, particularly that Commissioner Hardesty is talking about, talks about doing more training for the PRB members, but the Citizen Review Committee members who sit on those, they're not allowed to talk about what happens in the cases, but they say they are treated like they don't know anything because they're civilians and not officers. So that attitude adjustment isn't necessarily going to get fixed through training, so that's something where we should have more conversations about how to fix the PRB. There was a mention about the information about Quanis Hayes' unfortunate tragic death and Terrell Johnson's death. I wish that his mother had been able to come today. She spoke very well yesterday at the smaller meeting that IPR hosted. But, you know, Quanis Hayes was told to crawl out on his hands and knees and to have his hands in the air. And one of the officers reported, "How am I supposed to do that?" That is, Quanis Hayes said that. And in my opinion, those conflicting orders is what led to his death. And then with Terrell Johnson's case, Officer Ajir engaged in a foot pursuit, which hasn't come up here yet today, that is essentially against Bureau policy and failed to follow several aspects of the foot pursuit policy, which led to Terrell Johnson's death. And there was no accountability for that. There's a lot of information in the report about words. They talked about the officer has no other option and suicide by cop. We're very glad they're addressing those issues. We've also raised issues about the use of the word de-escalation in the case with Mr. Boucher. They said that he was, an officer went to go get a less lethal weapon, and they described that as de-escalation. But I would say anytime you bring a weapon on, that's not de-escalation. It can be mitigation of force from a live weapon, but it's not de-escalation. There's multiple common sense violations that happened that weren't discussed either by the police review board or by commanders, and ultimately people weren't held accountable for them. as Dr. Haynes said, many of these recommendations are things the community has been saying for years. We do support just about everything that OIR recommended to you. We appreciate their bringing up the history of Portland's racism in their opening of their report this time. But we're in the context of multiple shootings of African Americans in the city since Donald Trump was elected, and we need to be talking more about that issue as well.
Very good. Thank you. And thank you for preparing written testimony as well. I appreciate that. Very good. Next up, Chief Outlaw, and I believe Captain Jeff Bell from PPB Internal Affairs are going to give the Portland Police Bureau response to the report. Thank you for being here. And Chief, in particular, I know you are probably going on close to 24 plus hours without sleep, so I particularly appreciate your being here.
Good afternoon, Council, Commissioners. I think my response to the report was pretty self-explanatory in the sense that, yes, we do agree. I don't want to sound cliche or like a broken record, but I just want to use this time to reinforce how serious we take not only the analyses provided by OIR, but just the nature excuse me, and the content of the report. I also recognize that a lot of the cases investigated happened a long time before my arrival, but I want to publicly acknowledge that we've also had a recent spate of officer-involved shootings in a very short period of time recently, and I want to, again, reaffirm to the public that we will do everything that we can to make sure that the investigations are not only thorough but complete and timely and as transparent as possible. I know you might have some follow-up questions for us as far as what's been implemented thus far, what we plan to do for the future, but I would like to say this. 2019 is about solutions. I think it's about action plans, and it's about follow-through. And I think it's very important, as was mentioned, that there are some things we're just not going to be able to see. Hopefully, it shows a positive by us not seeing it by through omission. But I think it's very important to have action plans, to have very clear tasks and responsibilities, to ensure that there's systems in place so we can go back and report out on these tasks very completely and thoroughly. A couple of things I want to talk about. One of the constant things that I saw when I first got here, it's been about 15 months since I've been here, and one of the constant themes in the first report that I had a chance to review from OIR and this report as well was a theme of sergeants jumping into tactical positions. And I identified very early on, along with staff, that we do ourselves a disservice, not just with training, but it's a cultural thing in how we train and mindset. And because of that, in 2019, what you're seeing upcoming in the fall with our in-service training is very specific training for our sergeants and our supervisors, so they know what's expected of them and what their roles are. And they're not only learning what's expected of them as a sergeant or a supervisor, but they're also learning what their people beneath them are learning, what their officers are. So it's far more robust types of training that we'll be receiving. Prior to me arriving, all in-service training, everyone attended together, from the chief all the way down to the line-level officer. So everybody's learning the same thing at the same time. And so the difference, what I hope to see moving forward, is when we break out these trainings, when the sergeants train with each other and the lieutenants and the captains and commanders train with each other, everybody's learning their roles and what their roles and responsibilities are. So that's going to be a huge culture change, but I'm excited about it, and I expect to see some change from that. Acting Commander Bell is here with me and can also answer any questions. He's been working very closely with implementing the recommendations over the years, and we're, again, appreciative for the opportunity to be able to speak before you publicly, but we'd really like to be able to answer any questions that you might have.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Good afternoon, Chief.
Hello.
And Commander Bell, or Acting Commander Bell. My question has to do with... Chief, it says that you said that we could not videotape officers, and it was a collective bargaining agreement. Why would that be a collective bargaining agreement?
It's my belief, and with the, and I'll let you chime in as well, with the advice from the city attorney's office, anything that could lead to discipline of an officer is subject to negotiation or sitting across the table from the union.
So that's just advice. That doesn't mean what they're saying makes sense or it's true. It's just their advice.
Well, I think there's nothing to stop us from doing that.
Right. That's my question.
And I obviously think that it suits us better for anything that we implement to sit down at the table with them. So no one's blindsided, so we're all on the same page and we're all invested in what we're trying to do.
I appreciate that, Chief, because I do think that we have this mindset that we can't do anything with policing unless we're talking about the bargaining agreement. And there's just so many things that are outside of the bargaining agreement that we refuse to address. And that's been a big problem over the years, so I appreciate that. Assistant Commander Bell, do you have a response to this particular question?
No, same as what the chief basically said, is that's been the advice we've been given. And like she said, it's because it's part of the discipline process. But so that's where we're at.
I don't understand if it's discipline when you're interviewing them about an incident they've been involved in. I mean, we haven't even gotten to, well, what if they did something wrong? Because as a community, we'd never get there, right? This is like, what happened? So why do you see that as a disciplinary thing? I'm just not understanding that.
I think what we're saying, anything that can lead to discipline, but I also don't see it as a bad thing. I think we're making the assumption that the union would be against it. A lot of what we're doing is, you know, just making sure that we're working in alignment with contemporary best practices, and I think we'd be surprised if they were here at the table whether or not they would be, you know, supportive of that. I don't want to speculate and speak for them.
I thank you. I appreciate that. My other question has to do with are we still acting like we have a 48-hour rule?
So what we are doing is we are going by what the city council enacted as part of our policy that we interview officers within 48 hours of the incident.
The OIR report appears to say that we go up to 47 hours in most cases, and then sometimes it's actually longer than 48 hours. I'm concerned because I don't think that was the intent of the city council. I think the terminology was that we would interview officers as quickly as possible after an incident happened. But I think the practice that we have found ourselves in is waiting until the 47th and a half hour before we do the interview. Is there an opportunity to change that so that we're actually interviewing as quickly as we possibly can, like we do with other witnesses to an event that would take place?
So we certainly do have the opportunity to do that. Part of the reason why we do wait is because for our investigators, it's better for them to gather information before they ask those questions. And that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it now. Typically, those interviews are coming in, I would say, closer to like 36 hours after the incident. But I'm not sure. I'd have to look back at the list. I'm not sure that any of the incidents that they reviewed, I think just two of the incidents that they reviewed were immediately after the change in the policy.
Well, yes, they did allude to over and over again, hoping that we will get more to there as soon as possible rather than sticking to the as late as we possibly can. Thank you for that.
Could I jump in on that? Could we get some data on that? Because I'm not sure I agree that we've been in violation of the 48-hour rule. So rather than speculate, could we actually get the data back?
Yeah, that's, thank you. That's easily
Commissioner
possible.
Fritz.
And on that note, there's nothing to say we can't interview them again, right? So
that's
why would
true.
We not interview them right, the person who's most involved, interview them right away, and then after they've had that time to settle down, have you thought of anything else that you would like to tell us about what happened? Or we heard this. I mean, I would absolutely, we paid a boatload of money to get rid of the 48-hour rule, and I expected it to be almost immediately that you would be doing those interviews, so I would really encourage you to think about doing that.
Commissioner Udaly.
I agree with Commissioner Hardesty and Commissioner Fritz on that item. That was a kind of confusing one for me because it didn't seem to really achieve our goal. But I believe in the report it does suggest that we should be conducting those interviews before the shift ends, ideally.
Yes.
I have two questions. I came up last week. It's come up again this week. We're required to have this outside audit of officer-involved shootings. sorry. But city code is not clear about who is responsible for ensuring that these recommendations are followed through on, whether that ultimately leads to them being adopted or not. And so I'm interested in, you know, how we can work together to ensure that more of these 191 recommendations are, that the Bureau has largely been in agreement with, become part of our policy. Is it internal? Is it the council? Is it expanding the scope of work with the entity that we use to do the audits? And this is not a particular criticism of the Bureau. I think this is a citywide issue. I mean, we see so many items every year. We deal with so many different issues. We make great decisions every week. But without anyone holding us accountable, it's easy for things to slip through the cracks.
I think we'd be great at taking the lead in that. You know, obviously we could track. We can go through. We've already done that. Acting Commander Bell was very instrumental in putting together the spreadsheet that you have.
Oh, thank you, Commander Bell.
Given that we've already taken the lead on that, we can turn that into an action plan and then share that, and we can all come together and see if what we come up with is the best plan or if there's tweaks that need to be made.
That sounds great. And so just, I mean, bearing in mind that some of these recommendations are not concrete steps so much as culture changes within the Bureau, and also, as was highlighted, some of them pertain to very rare instances, so we have we don't have opportunities to test them out.
Yeah,
so.
But I think there's also ways, though, that we can show that we have proper systems in place.
Yeah.
And whether it's the system and then also, as what was alluded to, consequences or accountability if someone steps outside, you know, either at the individual level or if there's a systemic issue, we need to make sure that there's something in place that to ensure that we catch it and do something about it.
And I had one more question, but Mayor, did you want to weigh in on that?
No, go ahead, please.
My other question is, got Daryl Turner's rather incendiary response to this report, and in closing he suggests that because you have approved all the recommendations, some of which may be subject to collective bargaining, that this represents a per se unfair labor practice under Oregon law. My understanding is when we accept a report, we're accepting report. We're not, it doesn't constitute approval or adoption of the recommendations. So two parts, I guess. What is your response to that accusation? And two, I could really use clarity on what pieces of police policy fall under collective bargaining and what we actually have the ability to change without outside of the bargaining process, because that that has been a real obstacle for me and my office.
So again, I will restate that I believe it's important for all of us to work together. This is a city issue, and when I say that, that means having the union at the table when we do that. And I'll leave that at that. With that said, you know, labor rights versus management rights, obviously the city attorney can provide a little bit more on that, but anything that impacts working conditions and changes to that, or anything that could impact pay, or again, when we talk about disciplinary matters, anything that could lead to discipline, we need to make sure that the union is involved or in at the table. And I'd like to also make sure that we establish lines of communication with both unions, all unions that we have, when before we implement anything that's going to have a huge change on the work that's going to be done. So I think collaboration is important on the front end. Some things, you know, we need to sit down and talk about and actually agree upon, and then there are other things that don't.
Thank you.
So.
Commissioner Hardesty.
One more question. The police review board was discussed by the OIR group. What are you going to do with their recommendations as far as how do we make that more usable so that it's actually providing a service that the public can have some confidence in?
I have actually in the last two recommendations that have come to me, I've, for lack of a better term, sent back the report asking for more work or more analyses on certain areas. The police review board, I do believe, was created when it was in good faith then, and it was cutting edge at the time. But the content and what police review boards do today currently has since evolved. And given that it's an advisory board to the chief of police and the police commissioner, the outcome or anything that comes out of those boards should be helpful. And I'm finding that I'm reinvestigating these cases on my own. I'm combing through everything myself just because of just the nature of the recommendations that come. They're pretty high level. And I'll, you know, there's ways in which it can be tweaked. I have a lot of suggestions. I've already given some direction and some guidance as to what I expect to come out of those. I also want to ensure that at least once a year that there's annual training brought in to the police review boards, and we're looking at some folks that can do that to come to us as opposed to sending them to several trainings because we realize we have a lot of people that we need to get through. But we want to make sure that they're given the tools that they're needed in order to do the job so that the work that they're doing is actually effective. So there's a lot of that can be done in the short term, but there might be some code changes that have to be made as well to make sure that anything that's done is not only valuable but impactful. And we make sure that we have a feedback loop for what comes out of those and we implement that moving forward.
Thank you both. Appreciate your being here.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chief. So I don't know, do people have follow-up questions for OIR before I make them get out of their comfortable hardwooden chairs? Very good. Carla, could you please call the roll on item number 101? That is the I'm going to accept a motion. That is a report.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty. We have a second from Commissioner Fritz. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you, OIR, for the very thorough reports that you've done over many years, and I do think that having the consistency of those reports has been very helpful to me as a council member. I do believe the recommendations can help prevent future use of deadly force if they're implemented. I do share the concerns that have been expressed by the League of Women Voters of Portland and others, including Copwatch. While this report cited a few instances where the police bureau made changes in training or policy that contributed to improved outcomes, OAR repeatedly restated recommendations they had made previously because of similar problems they found in their latest review. I would like to see a progress report next year on responses to recommendations made over the past 5 years. What's actually been implemented, not just accepted, and has that made any difference? As was just discussed, I share the concerns that the Police Review Board does not seem to be functioning as effectively as it could be. I'm glad to hear the Chief has a plan for that. I admit I was absolutely shocked and horrified hearing about the video being shown as training so quickly that it was before some of the involved officers had been investigated. Not only does that potentially interfere with the investigation, but that to have an example of something to be used as a training so quickly when people are still investigating what went wrong. I'm just horrified when we had incidents at Oregon Health and Science University. We had it within a reasonable framework of time that the discussion of what went wrong, what could have gone better, but not in the immediate trauma of something really awful just happened and let's all learn from it right now. So I do think that in addition to not having the officers see it, there needs to be a more thoughtful process for deciding what is used as a video for training. Although I do agree with you that having actual real-life instances is very helpful. This 120-page report was posted last week. It had, so there's very little time for the community to digest it. And as Mr. Handelman pointed out, it was finished a month ago. So next year, I hope that there will be several weeks for the community to review it and comment, especially if community members are going to be limited to written comments. Frankly, I find written comments equally as helpful as, if not more so, to be able to read them through and ask questions and discuss things. So I hope that we'll have more time. I was very troubled by some of the investigations being ended before the witnesses were interviewed. It's certainly, the timeline is important, but accuracy and accountability are absolutely crucial. And so I hope, particularly in the instance where it was a firefighter who had not been interviewed because the person wasn't back on shift for a while, well, that's somebody that we are pretty sure is coming back and will eventually testify. So why the investigation was closed at that point is beyond troubling. So there's obviously some areas for each of us that we can work on to help reduce incidents. I do thank Donna Hayes and the Qantas Hayes family for their ongoing participation in trying to fix the system, in working to fix the system. And I was very touched to hear that your report was helpful to Mrs. Hayes and her family, and I hope that you also are appreciative of that. Thank you to the Albina Ministerial Alliance, the Portland Cop Watch, and the League of Women Voters for your ongoing diligence on these crucial issues. And thanks to Cynthia Castro and my staff for her staff work on that. Finally, Mayor Wheeler, thank you for your ongoing commitment to making these changes. You get blamed for everything, and so it's
my job.
Yeah, well, partly. And I would have to say that being joined by Commissioner Udaly previously and now Commissioner Hardesty, there's a lot of eyes on these reports now, and there's a lot of people who are willing to take on some of the tough challenges that have plagued us in the past, including what is a subject to bargaining and what could we perhaps push the envelope a little bit more, if not outright get some right-sizing of what we as the elected officials responsible for public safety are allowed to do in relation to the people who carry guns in our names. With that, I vote aye.
Hardesty?
I always appreciate the thoroughness of OIR's reports, and I'm very grateful that we have built a relationship over the last 9 years that I can be brutally honest with you, and I don't have to like sugarcoat what I say, and vice versa. I value the input that you've given. And what I've noticed over the years is that we make changes and then we slip back, and we make changes and then we slip back, and we make changes and then we slip back into some automatic response. I want to make sure I put on the record that legal advice is just that. It's legal advice. Just because the attorney recommends something doesn't mean that we're all obligated to do what that city attorney says. I think it is inexcusable that people lose their lives because somebody falls and they get scared when they fall, and then that appears to be within policy. And so I think that we've made some improvements over the years, but I can see areas that we've slipped back, and I'm very concerned that it just gets kind of rubber stamped. I'm happy to hear that Chief Outlaw is working on revising the police review board, but I also would encourage her to look at all the advisory committees that the police has, because many of them were put in place under previous administrations that may or may not have reform in their mind. I also want to say that I'm very concerned that we have a practice that appears to emulate the 48-hour rule, even though we pretend the rule doesn't exist anymore. And so I'm hopeful to get more clarity to make sure that police have no more rights than a regular member of the public when it comes to being interviewed after an incident. And so I look forward to working with the chief and the mayor to make those changes happen. I also want to just give my heartfelt thanks to Mrs. Hayes for being here today. And it just kind of broke my heart to realize the best information she got about what happened to her grandson was because of the OIR group's report. We must do better and actually trying to assist community members in understanding what happens when their loved ones die at the hands of our police. I also want to thank my esteemed colleagues, Reverend Haynes and Reverend Dr. Bethel. And Reverend Haynes, I just want you to know I'm still an activist. I just happen to be on the city council, so I don't want that to change your mind. And thank you so much, Dan. And Mayor, I really appreciate you extending the courtesy today to others to be able to participate in this. And know that my voice is one of one in a police department that works for everyone in the city of Portland and not at all critical of any individuals. But if our system is broken, it is our responsibility to fix it. I vote aye.
Hardesty. I'm sorry. Udaly.
Oh, I was Hardesty. You want me to go again?
Udaly.
Well, although she's gone and she's been thanked twice before, I have to begin by acknowledging and thanking Donna Hayes, Quanis Hayes' grandmother, for being here today and for continuing to demand that we do better. I took no comfort personally in reading about the death of Quanis Hayes. It was the most difficult part of this report for me to digest. But I take some comfort in knowing that it has helped the family in their process of grieving his loss. As we talk about these reports, it's important that we remember that we're talking about real people and not abstract policies. And so having family members here, I think, is a real service to us as a council and to the community, despite how difficult it is for them. I appreciate the OAR's thoughtful approach to writing these reports. Even as members of the council, we often don't know about the specifics of what happened in officer-involved shootings, and there's often a lot of speculation and misinformation flying around in the public, and it's really hard to combat that if we don't have the information. There's great value to the transparency of having facts laid out in one place in this manner. I'm also going to be going back and reading previous reports. The questions I had last week continue to be at the forefront of my mind today. What is the value of these reports if we don't have clear mechanisms for tracking the implementation of the recommendations? City code is unclear. It states that the IPR director and the Citizen Review Committee shall address any policy-related or quality of investigation issues that would warrant further review. What does that mean? It obviously doesn't mean that we will implement all these recommendations. So while we have adopted a few, and I appreciate the chief's comments, I still think we need to explore all the options we have in creating a more systematic approach to tracking progress on the recommendations. That may be internal, it may be external. I want to appreciate the Portland Police Bureau. They don't get a lot of praise, but OAR, despite some of the content of this report, had a lot of positive things to say about them. I think most importantly, how cooperative they were in this process. I want to commend the chief for her openness to OIR recommendations and for her responses to their most current recommendations, which was almost 100% agreement, I believe. I do have to take issue with the defensive posturing of the Portland Police Association's president, Daryl Turner. I didn't find his letter a helpful message to send. As we are striving to improve our police bureau, reduce deadly force events, increase the safety of all parties, and mend the relationship between the police and the community, none of us are beyond the reproach, including everyone sitting at this dais, including the police bureau. And all of us have room for improvement until our very last day on this earth, I believe. And perhaps beyond. Who knows? I want to highlight a few of the issues that Mr. Turner raised and my impression of the report. One, I think he felt like OAR was judging and criticizing his officers when I read this report as being really helpful constructive criticism. We have to apply 2020 vision in hindsight in order to reach our goal of reducing the use of lethal force and fatalities. Two, the report does not criticize officers for stumbling or falling, but simply asks the question if there were other tactical decisions that could have been made to keep them in a stronger position to begin with, and indicates the need for improved ground fighting training in the event they do find themselves in a compromised position. Three, suggesting that there may have been alternatives to using lethal force, even in instances where officers are being shot out at, also doesn't constitute a criticism in my mind. We know our officers face extraordinary challenges and must make split-second decisions. They certainly have a right to protect and defend their own lives, but lethal force may not always be necessary or the best or safest tactic given the circumstances, and that is simply what is detailed in this report. Finally, I want to echo a recommendation by the League of Women Voters, and I believe Dan Handelman. It's difficult to expect the public to digest and meaningfully engage with a 100-plus page report in 5 days over a weekend, so next time I would like to see the report made publicly available well in advance of the item coming to council. I want to thank Julie and her team at the OAR group. It was really a pleasure to meet with you yesterday. If we've met before, I apologize. I think it was the first. I want to thank everyone who came here today, everyone who testified, and just say that the fact that the Bureau finds so little disagreement with your recommendations is a testament to the vital work you're doing for our city. So thank you, and with that, I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, since the year began, we've seen two officer-involved shootings, one of which was a fatality. And since the beginning of my term, which was just over 2 years ago, there have been 18. The use of deadly force is without question the most critical decision a police officer can make. When it results in the loss of the life, it is certainly devastating for all. Officers are entrusted to make decisions under often challenging and complex circumstances. Every day we ask them to take years of training and knowledge of PPB policies and thoughtfully apply them in their interactions with the public. Officers enter those interactions with training, with expertise, and a firearm. Our expectations as a community around officer conduct, of course, should absolutely be high because there is too much at stake. That's why the reviews like the one presented today are so important. I want to be very clear. This is Monday morning quarterbacking, and Michael and I and the other members of OIR were discussing that this morning. And I liked Michael's comment that he said he was a fan of Monday morning quarterbacking. So am I. And by the way, if you want to use a sports analogy, so are all winning teams. In fact, after a game, win, lose, or draw, what do? For most of the next week? They review the tape. They go back and they look at what they did right, what worked well, what excelled, and they look at what didn't work and what needs to be improved upon. And while I sometimes get criticized for holding the police bureau, of which I am the commissioner in charge, to a very high standard, I want to be crystal clear. I do hold them to a very high standard because I want the Portland Police Bureau to live up to that high standard, and I know that by and large, they want to live up to that standard too. Officers enter interactions with the public with these high expectations. OIR has served a very valuable function, in my opinion, for the city as a third-party reviewer of officer-involved shootings in Portland for the last several years. The reviews have enabled us to assess whether PPB's current policies and training are, in fact, reflected in practice. As leaders, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to ensure that the correct policies and training are in place so that if an officer makes the decision to use deadly force, he or she does so with the proper foundation in place. Though there definitely continue to be areas for improvement within the PPB, it's also important to emphasize, as the OIR group does, the good work the Bureau has done over time to improve its training, systems, and processes. It is not an easy job to be part of the Portland Police Bureau, and it is my hope that while we hold the Portland Police Bureau and the men and women in that bureau to a high standard and we hold them accountable, I hope we will also support them in their efforts as public employees in this city the same way we support public employees in all of our bureaus. And I hope that we heed the chief's advice that we give them the tools, the resources, and the access to training that we give to other bureaus when they seek to improve themselves. Since joining the City of Portland, Chief Outlaw has been a force for change. She's made clear efforts to connect with Portland residents and push the Portland Police Bureau to the next level of policing. She gets very high marks from people in the community. I also have a recommendation, call it a directive, call it an expectation, call it a new partnership to Chief Outlaw. And looking forward to the next report, I expect to be provided with periodic updates from the Bureau on the implementation status of each of the recommendations not currently or fully in practice. I'd then like the full update presented to Council at the time of the 7th report's release next year. I would like this to become institutionalized as part of the presentation of this report. And I heard a strong consensus from my colleagues on that point. I want to thank the Chief, and I want to thank Acting Commander Bell for representing the Bureau today and for their persistent efforts to make PPB better for the residents of Portland. Last but not least, there is a role for the City Council here, and I think it's important for us to understand that sitting on this side of the dais, the call to improve and the challenge to be better rests with us as much as it does with the Police Bureau. And again, this gets back to the question of which contracts we decide to sign, because the contracts we decide to sign often lay down impediments to the leadership in the Police Bureau to be able to do the kinds of things that OIR recommends in their report. Some of the recommendations can be accomplished by administrative fiat, and I would expect the Chief to live up to her commitment to enact those things through fiat as the Chief of Police. Other things will require additional support and funding from the Portland City Council in order to be accomplished. That is clearly laid out in the report. And last but not least, many of these issues will have to be bargained collectively with the Portland Police Association and other collective bargaining units within the Portland Police Bureau. In all of those cases, this council has a role as well in terms of accountability. Last but not least, I'd like to thank the OIR group for your critical eye in conducting the work and your partnership on these issues. I think this work is very important. I know you will continue to push us and prod us. You will continue to provoke important conversations. I will confess I'm not always going to agree with you. But that's part of the point here, is that we have a clear and open and frank dialogue about these issues. In this particular report, the 6th edition of the report, you made 40 specific recommendations. The police chief is committed and agreed to all 40 of those recommendations. I want to state for the record, so too do I. And I will work with the Chief and the Bureau and my colleagues here and the PPA and others to ensure that we actually live up to that commitment. So with that, I thank you all. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Last little bit of business related to this is the second reading of the ordinance. That is item number 110. This is a second reading of a non-emergency ordinance. We heard the presentation on this last week. We took public testimony on this last week. This is with regard to the extension of the OIR contract. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, today's hearing really showed why this is a good investment for the citizens of Portland. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Hardesty?
Yes, I just wanted an opportunity to have quality time with the principals of OIR before I voted to affirm this extension. Really great work, folks. Really appreciate you. Aye.
You daily.
Well, I hope your reports get shorter and shorter until they don't exist. Until then, really appreciate your service to our city. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I like that sentiment. I support it. I vote aye. Thank you for your hard work. The ordinance is adopted. Have a safe trip home. Next item.